But I do really want to encourage you to be praying for our sister churches and our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. That, again, thousands of conversations would be launched by the Holy Spirit that are bearing fruit. And some of those will bear fruit decades from now. But that we be praying for the Holy Spirit to be leading men and women, old people, young people, to have those conversations. And even if we're not geared up for that particular series right now, obviously we have that same calling. That you and I get to look for opportunities to have that Jesus-centered conversation. To just because it's worthwhile, to be willing to listen to the questions of non-believers, to be willing to take their questions seriously, and to be willing to take some risks with how we present the truth of Jesus Christ without the feeling, without the false belief that somehow it's our job to make sure they walk away from the conversation just overwhelmed with facts, or that we've won the debate, but that we're having a very loving and respectful conversation that takes their questions seriously, but never backs down, never apologizes for the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And for all of that combination, obviously we need the Holy Spirit's help. So please be praying for brothers and sisters and churches that are pursuing that series over the next few weeks. And if you'll turn to Matthew 6, which again is where we launched from Romans chapter 12. And I'm taking this out of order. Oh, that's right. I don't need that. Taking this out of order. And let's just read this again. Starting at verse 6, Matthew chapter 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But you pray in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we looked last week at the give us this day our daily bread, and we're going to skip verse 12. Reason we're skipping verse 12 right now is because we're going to come back to it. Not because I don't like verse 12, or not because I don't think you want to hear about verse 12. We're going to come back to it. But we're looking at verse 13 today, where he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I want to try to put a couple of things up on the board here about this one phrase out of Jesus' prayer as he's teaching us this mindset and this concept of prayer. To lead us not into temptation. But deliver us. From evil. And actually, some of your translations will say it this way, from the evil one. Because the Greek word there can be both. It can be from evil, or it can be specifically the evil one. And one of the things that strikes me every time I read this passage, and I think a lot of Christians, evidently from conversations I've had through the years, a lot of Christians hit this same question. Where it stands right here, lead us not into temptation. And it's a real easy flip in our human way of seeing things to think, so if I didn't pray that, was God going to tempt me? And Tim read a passage for us that, again, gives us good background for how we interpret this passage. So go to James chapter 1 that Tim read this morning. Right after the book of Hebrews. And some of you are very familiar with this passage. But starting in verse 13, James says this: "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil. He himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So James is saying there is something we can easily believe, that he's now taught us something to protect us from deception. And that truth is, I can count on this. God is never the one setting me up to sin. God is desiring my spiritual victory. God is never the one desiring my spiritual defeat. So we get that background real quickly put in place, and we can look at other passages that give that same idea, that in God there is no darkness, there is no evil, there is no longing for evil, there is no cheering for evil. That in God there is nothing but opposition to evil, and that part of our recognition is, whatever this prayer means, I get that solid foundation that God is not in favor of my defeat, and he's not the one setting me up to give in to sin. So now I get to stand back and look at that and recognize God's not the one leading me to temptation, but why am I praying this? And one of the things that comes through over and over and over again in Scripture that I think is real important, and it goes back to this, goes back to lead. Here am I, and here are you, standing before God in prayer, and we're recognizing temptations out there. But Father, here's what I'm asking for you. I'm asking for you to give me leadership. I'm submitting myself. This goes back to the first passage we studied, the first part of the prayer where he says that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that starts with me, that this is a prayer not just of request, this is a prayer of submission. And that this is a further prayer of submission, that when I'm saying, Father, lead me not into temptation, but that first part is I'm recognizing you're the leader. I'm choosing your leadership, Father. I'm choosing your leadership. So, again, this is about submission, choosing the lordship of Christ, choosing the headship of Christ, choosing the authority of the Father in my life. So that whatever temptation I'm going to face, I'm already recognizing, Father, that didn't come from you, but I need leadership to deal with it. Now, let's see. Actually, go to Hebrews chapter 4, right before James. Go to verse 15. And we looked at this passage recently in terms of recognizing that God understands our need. But let's look at this passage again in terms of temptation. Actually, start at verse 14. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, that promise for help in time of need covers every need. But part of the focus of this passage here in Hebrews 4 is he's talking about facing the weaknesses in us in the face of temptation. And he's saying, now, here's the thing you need to know. This God is eager and graceful and prepared and ready to help you. He's not standing back just saying, you know what? We'll see how you do. He's really saying, I'm committed through Jesus Christ who walked on the planet and faced what you faced. I'm actually committed to help you deal with the next moment of temptation. When will you face your next moment of temptation? I promise you, sometime in the next 24 hours. Yeah, next 5 minutes. Next 3 minutes. Some of you may be literally facing temptation right now. And what God is saying is, I'm ready for your time of need. You have a high priest who has faced temptation, and he always defeated the enemy. So this is the right God, the right Lord, to be saying, I need your leadership. Because when I face temptation, I need you leading me in a different direction than into it. I need you leading me out of it and around it and away from it. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Again, a very familiar passage maybe, but man, a powerful passage for us to remember in the face of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10. Let's start in verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. So what he's saying is, are you standing right now? Are you faithful right now? Do you feel pretty strong in your faith right now? Do you feel like you're standing in the right place with God? Then gain wisdom and be prepared for this. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. God is faithful, who will now not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Now, this puts what we're praying here in context. God's saying, I'm ready. I'm ready with rescue. I'm ready. I've already prepared the way of escape. But something that comes through in this prayer, that comes through real frequently in the New Testament, God gives me a promise. And then he says, now you decide if you're going to cash that promise in. I'm going to provide a power, and you decide if you're going to come to me for that power. I'm going to give you an opportunity, and you decide if you're going to pick up that opportunity. You decide this. So one of the things that comes through very much in this whole prayer is that I take authority. I exercise initiative. Initiative. I'm proactive in claiming what belongs to me. So that God is saying, you know what? I've already promised this. There's going to be temptation in your life today. Every single moment of temptation that you and I face today, God will say, I saw this coming. I measured the dimensions of the enemy's thinking. I measured the dimensions of your weakness and your vulnerability. I've really measured top to bottom, back to front, every aspect of this moment of temptation. And I've thought through and prepared every resource you need to actually defeat the enemy and win. I've thought it through. And I have heard this plenty of times, and I've thought it myself. You know what? If God's ready, if God promises, I don't have to pray. Well, it's already done deal. And yet here's Jesus actually saying, no, pray. Ask for it. Don't presume on God. The fact that he's offered it to you, he's also now commanded you to come get it. So if I prepare, you know, provision for my family, and actually the example I'm using, Carrie would prepare the provision for the family. But, you know, there's this big feast set out on the table. I serve the drinks, and I do a great job. Okay, folks? I do a great job. The right amount of ice, the glass fitted to whichever drink it is, I do a great job at my part of that. Silverware is set and the napkins are out. Okay, so don't please belittle my role in this. But Carrie's made the food. And if we provide that, people, I could wander, Carrie could wander, and Aaron could wander all around and fail to enjoy what's sitting on the table if we're not wise enough to walk into the dining room, sit down at the table, and choose to begin eating. And that is the concept that God is pushing here and saying, I've promised something, but now I want you to be proactive in claiming it. And there's something behind this that I, along with this take authority, initiative, and proactive, is that I'm choosing a mindset of spiritual victory. And over again, all the things that we study, we keep coming back to this idea of mindset. That God's not saying, I just want you to believe a set of doctrines. I just want you to read my list at the back of your, you know, statement of faith in the church brochure, and where you would sign off on it and go, yeah, I agree with all that. What he's saying is, I want you to have a mindset where you're not complacent about spiritual victory, you're not presuming spiritual victory, but that you're recognizing you're in a war and you go after victory. You expect a war and you have a mindset of preparation and pursuit of victory. And this, boy, this was challenging for me in thinking about this and recognizing this week how much I simply presume on God and how much he's saying, I actually want you to grow a more proactive mindset. You know the war is true. You believe the war is real. But now grow in agreement with me a mindset that you don't want to settle for anything less than spiritual victory. So this lead us not into temptation, my submission to what God has prepared, my preparation to receive his rescue, but you and I get to say, I'm going after it. So as Jesus is teaching this model of prayer, it's real clear that everything about this prayer is a daily choice. And the best indicator, as we've said before, is this. I'm only getting one day's worth of bread out of this prayer. So God's expecting that tomorrow I'm going to be thinking and choosing all of these things again. And that he really is saying, tomorrow morning, I want you waking up and starting your day where you're already putting your brain in gear. You're already putting your thoughts, your heart, your motivations in gear, where you're recognizing, Father, today there will be a war. And I can start predicting my defeat. And there are plenty of believers who in discouragement, and I've had those moments, I bet every single one of you has had those moments, where you're predicting the war and you're predicting your defeat. And the point of this prayer is I start predicting my victory. And I start gearing up for my victory. And I start expecting, Father, that what you've provided, by praying this prayer, I'm in agreement with you that I will go get the resources for victory. And we'll come back to that later. But that I go get the resources for victory. I don't just believe in the concept. I go get my stuff. And I know I've used this analogy before, but, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps a long, 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 long time ago, when we had to go out on guard duty, and particularly when we thought we were actually under attack, we ran down a hallway and we received our gear. We got our helmet. We got our belt. We got our rifle. We got our ammunition. And literally, we were just walking down and there were doors down the hallway with different armament personnel there tossing us our stuff. So that by the time we ran out the door to potentially face the enemy, we had all our stuff. And nobody would have said, wait a minute, I am one tough Marine. Keep your stuff. It's just me. I'm going out there. I knew a few guys like that. But you don't want to be standing next to them when the battle happens. The wise soldier, the wise Marine, the wise warrior recognizes, I go into battle fully prepared. This is a prayer of preparation. This is an agreement to gear up and prepare. This is not a prayer of, Father, I'm going to lay here in my hammock, listen to some cool tunes, sip my mint julep, and you just deliver me from evil. This is a prayer of a warrior preparing for battle. Father, you lead me and I will follow. You show me what I need to put on and I'll put it on. Very familiar with this passage, but let's go to Ephesians. You know, one of the, and I realize I've said it already about three or four times. Very familiar passage. The challenge of a familiar passage is I stop thinking about it because I've heard it so many times. Starting at verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 6. Did I say 5? Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to ask that we pray for him. Now, here's the point of this passage right here. That's me doing, that's you doing my cooperation with this prayer request. Father, lead me not into temptation, but into defeating the evil one. Lead me not into temptation and defeat, but into victory over my flesh and the world when I face that moment of temptation. I'm asking for leadership, and I'm a follower who's ready to gear up and put all the full armor. So I can't pray this prayer with faith and not be looking at the full armor. So again, this cannot be biblically a prayer of complacent dependence. This is a prayer of proactive preparation. Still dependent, because I'm recognizing you're going to have to lead me. I can't get there myself. And this is where he's just warned us about not setting ourselves up for fall in 1 Corinthians 10:12. That if I think I'm standing strong, and I start to think, you know what? I really know the Word of God really well. You know what? I've overcome a lot of sin in my life. You know what? I've been a Christian for longer than most people have been on the planet. You know what? And I keep adding up in my mind all the things that make me strong. I am absolutely setting myself up for defeat. Now, here's the first defeat, which you already know. The first defeat is pride. The first defeat is self-idolatry. I'm worshiping the wrong one. I'm depending on the power of the wrong one. So pride and idolatry are right there already. But the reality is now when I face some temptation that I didn't see coming, and God's preparation is sitting right here, but instead of putting on the armor of God, I put on the armor of Reg. And I will find out that the armor of Reg is paper. I will find out that fiery darts set that armor on fire. I will find out it can't stop swords and bullets. I will find out that even if I colored it in good and it looks good, it's just paper. And so that your call and my call is, I actually have to agree that real battle requires real armor, and I dare not get any armor but the one you've provided. Now, please, as you're thinking and as I'm thinking, we should be gearing our thoughts toward the recognition of, Father, where am I going to face temptation this week? Where did I face temptation last week? Where do I habitually fall? That's where I want to be applying this preparation. That's why I actually want to, I have forewarning, I want to gear up. So God has already said that whatever temptation you're facing, it's common. You did not invent your form of evil. You did not invent your form of weakness and vulnerability. Billions of men and women and children have faced what you're facing before. And for every single one of them who were sons and daughters of God, God was ready for their victory. Whether they chose it or not, God was ready for their victory. And he's saying, now I'm ready for yours, but get ready. Get ready for the battle. Be proactive. So when we pray this prayer, it's worth saying, Father, where? What battle am I gearing up for? So I hope as you're thinking right now, two or three things are coming to mind. And that what you're recognizing is, now I'm going to go gather truth. I'm going to actively gather truth. So it's not a matter of, oh yeah, that anger thing, that trips me up pretty often. That lust thing, got my number. That selfishness thing, that petty thing, that holding a grudge thing. No, it doesn't stop there. That now I'd say, if I've asked for you to lead me, not into defeat under that temptation, but into victory over it, and I've said I'm ready to gear up for battle, then Father, the next thing I do is I start going into your word to gather truth, to gather commands, to gather promises. I start gathering my equipment so that I finally run out the door to face that moment of battle geared up for victory. This is preparation. Now, that's the easiest thing in the world, and I'm including myself in this. The easiest thing for us to do is to agree with the idea of preparation and then not get prepared. That's the easiest thing in the world. And then suddenly on Tuesday or Thursday or next Saturday or Sunday morning as you're getting ready to come back next week, you go, wow, I thought about that preparation thing. Sounded like a good idea, and I never did it. This gets to be the week, if you didn't do it last week, this gets to be the week that you intentionally prepare for victory. That as you're praying this prayer, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, that I go put on my armor on purpose. And I consider, what is my armor? Because what promises and truths help you might not help me at all. And vice versa. I might be facing a completely different battle than you. And you could, and this is, please be careful how you hear what I'm saying. You might quote a verse and I go, well, that's nice. That's a good verse. And God's saying, yeah, but that's not enough for you, Reg. You need to go dig further and get more that fits your battle. So I get to attend to the fact that that passage, that truth, that promises gear you up. Those promises gear you up for victory. But I better be proactive enough to not just borrow yours, unless they fit, but willing to go get my own. Now, here's one more thing we'll try to cover today. Everything in this prayer is an us prayer. I already talked about that with praying for what we need, praying for our daily bread. But this recognition, I'm not saying, lead me. Father, lead me, just me. Help me to be victorious. That if I have the right mindset, if I approach the heart and the mind that Jesus was presenting in this prayer, I recognize I have responsibility and a calling to pray for your spiritual victory. And that might take some discernment. I might need to be consulting God for, Father, how do I pray for Bubba? How do I pray for Sandy? How do I pray for Cindy? How do I pray for Manuel? Father, I need to know things about their life. I need to know about where they're vulnerable. I need to share enough with them, and they share with me enough that my prayers get stronger and wiser on their behalf, and that I'm sharing with them so that they can pray for me more effectively. And you know what? We're going in that direction, but we've got a lot more to grow. We've got a lot more to grow in that sense of openness, that this is an us prayer, and I pray for your spiritual victory. Now, fortunately, I can be praying for that today, even if I don't know one cotton-picking thing about your life. If I don't know one tiny little iota about your life, except that you're a believer. Because fortunately, I'm praying to someone who's way smarter than me and knows all those details. So it's not like I have to wait till I know. But my wisdom to pray, my maturity of prayer, my proactive aggressiveness in the battle on your behalf keeps growing by our willingness to share with one another where we struggle. And actually, we're commanded to do that, to bear with one another and share our weaknesses with one another. So this command keeps challenging us. This body, this gathering of believers right here, we have more to go. I have more to go. You have more to go in building those fellowship, building that fellowship of vulnerability, so that we follow through on the us part of this prayer. Now, that was about half of this verse. So we're going to have to continue this verse next week. But let's pray. Father God, I do thank you that you mean what you say. You mean what you say. And you've prepared leadership for us that is designed very effectively for victory. You've prepared resources. You've prepared armor. You've prepared truth. You've prepared the very life and power of Jesus Christ dwelling within us to equip us for genuine victory. And Father, it is so easy to just be complacent. It is so easy to go into the next day presuming victory or even becoming lazy about defeat. And either way, Father, whether we're complacent about victory or uncaring about defeat, misses your heart and mind in this, Father, that you want us proactively choosing victory. You want us proactively resisting the enemy and drawing close to you. It's your heart's desire. So, Father, I pray that as we study your word, as we ponder these things together, that as sons and daughters of God, Father, whether we're old and been believers for decades or whether it's a brand new believer sitting here in the room that's just been a Christian for less than a year, that we would agree with you to be proactive in gathering up your resources, that we'd be proactive in recognizing that if we're going to stand firm against the enemy, we must choose what you've provided. And Father, I pray that you'd also be strengthening us in this, that we recognize we do not fight alone, that I fight for the men and women and children around me who belong to you, and they fight for me. And Father, thank you for all the ways that you've already trained us and equipped us, all the ways that this fellowship of believers already does that, Father, that we stand for each other in prayer. We run to you all week long in prayer on each other's behalf, Father, and that pleases you. That delights you. But help us to go stronger and deeper in this, that we build a mindset of agreement with you. We choose victory, and we submit ourselves to your leadership to gain victory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.